Seventy-seven?
Seventy-seven.
Seventy-seven, okay.
Okay, so we got our feet. Neither know who you are.
Seventy-three.
Okay, seventy-three.
I'm not in a picture, no words.
I would say ladies, but I would argue, you know, sometimes I just don't like to talk about that stuff. It doesn't matter to me. Amen, we give praise and honor to our God at every age.
Yeah, the amen.
That's right. It says in the Bible that he renews our strength. Like the eagle's wings. You know, the eagle's wings, how they, you know, they fall off and they come back, grow back and all that stuff. He renews our strength. My God, that's why it's so great to be under the presence and the power of our God, because it's the power of our God that renews a person's mind, power, strength in their bodies. You see? And so we need the presence and the power of God. But yes.
Ecclesiastes, I was reading it this morning. It says he renewed his mercies every day.
That's right. His mercies are renewed every day. Towards who? Who?
Us.
Us. That's right. You got to believe the word. His mercy is renewed every day towards us. So we should never feel guilty about anything. As you walk before God and you ask him for forgiveness for whatever it is, that thing, the next day, his mercy is renewed towards us daily. My God, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Well, we had a good Thanksgiving service.
Yes.
We had a good community Thanksgiving service. That was Tuesday night at the Methodist Church. And you know, they had what, 40, 50 people maybe, 40-some people, you know. I mean, I know the weather was bad that day. I think they had a lot of rain and just kind of stuff like that, but we had one, two, three, four, five pastors that showed up. So that was good. That was good. I mean, so, hey, you know, we came together. Excuse me, I need a sip of water. We came together just to give thanks unto our God and thanks for the things that he had given us as a community. But it was good, you know. Different pastors spoke about different things, you know, thanks and all that stuff. And I was the last one to speak. And, you know, I said, Lord, I have things planned that I, you know, scriptures. And you kind of just only have about 5 or so minutes, you know. And so I said, Lord, what do you want more than this? What do you want? You know, it's like you kind of, and while the Methodist pastor was speaking, part of their service, which I thought was kind of unique, was that people could, you know, they had a time where people could call out people's names, you know, for healing. Like, I mean, you know, just sitting there, you know, I know Leonard said Gail Smith, you know, and their response was, Lord, hear our prayer. You know, and that's, we all kind of know that from our background and some things. But, you know, and you know, whoever, you know, for healing or direction or whatever it is, you know, there's nothing. All you do, people just call out a name, you know, and the response from the whole congregation was, Lord, hear our prayer. And, that, I mean, they had probably 10 or 15 people that may have said a name. I mean, in 40 or 50 people, you know, that's quite a bit. You know, that's a third or so of the people about. And so, as I was listening to that, you know, I said, Lord, what you have for us tonight? You know, you just kind of, you know, we want what the Spirit of God wants. You know, we don't want humdrum, whatever, and you know, but we want what the Spirit of God wants. Because when the Spirit of God starts to move, things start to change people's hearts and lives. The power of Almighty God comes into a place. And as I was sitting there, the scripture came to me in Jeremiah 33:3 and says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And they kept on, these people would call out the names, and the response of everybody was basically, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. And then, you know, hey, praise God. Lord, hear our prayer. But the Spirit of God says, say that scripture. I said, okay, Lord. So, you know, got up, said a few other things, you know, thanking everybody, had a good Thanksgiving. And I said, there's a scripture I want to relate to you, one of them. It's in Jeremiah 33:3. And it says, the Lord says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. And I said, as I was sitting there, and as all we were sitting here, and y'all were calling out the names of people, God says he hears your prayer. Call upon him. God says, call upon him, and I will answer you. And I said, people, God will answer you, and he will show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And man, look, that one lady on the front, she's Methodist. And let me tell you, the Methodist church, there's no shouting going on at all. I mean, there's nothing. Man, she yelled out, amen. It almost shook that place. The pastor's wife of the Methodist church on one side, the newspaper lady on the other side of her, my gosh, she got excited. And then it pulled something out of me because of the amen that came forth. And what she was saying was, I agree with you, Pastor. I agree with you. But I wanted them to know how great their God was. And as they were petitioning people, that the names that they were calling out, that God was hearing their prayers and that he was about to move upon all the people that they had been praying for. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that hears our prayers. We serve a God that answers our prayers. We serve a God that moves upon his people and challenges us to do what he desires us to do. We don't serve a God that's deaf to our prayers. We serve a God that hears our prayers. And let me tell you, you can tell something happened. Then I ended it and I said, well, I wasn't going to talk with this. I said, you know, one day the Lord Jesus is coming. I said, the trump of God's going to sound. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with those that are dead and that have gone before us. You know, and forever shall we be with him. Reminding them how great their God is. Ooh, I tell you, it was good, people. I enjoyed it. I just enjoyed it. Just the people coming together, giving hope. Sometimes we don't realize what we have compared to what somebody else may have and how we know our God and what he's going to do. Praise God. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would. It's feeling better in here? No. Everybody's like, okay. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. What a God we serve, people. It amazes me the things that God is doing. Now we know we're starting the Christmas season, people. The Christmas season. This is just a more note. We're starting the Christmas season. Thanksgiving is over. A season of giving. A season where we recognize that our Lord and Savior came and was born of the flesh. We know that. Our Savior Lord. So always keep him first in all of our activities. Nothing wrong with having fun. Nothing wrong with doing whatever. But, you know, according to the word. But always remember, it's because of him that we celebrate. He may not, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, he wasn't born on December 25th. There's no way possible because of the Passovers and the feast and all that. There's no way possible. But that's okay. That's okay. We can celebrate that our Savior was born. And he came to live upon the earth. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14, starting with verse 14. It says, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Here we see Paul is writing a letter. Always remember, people, as you read most of these books in the Bible, most of them were just letters, either letters to churches, letters to individuals, that the Spirit of God came upon these men and they wrote it. Now, here we see 1 and 2 Timothy, but Paul was writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young man that had given his heart to the Lord, and the power of God was upon Timothy. I want y'all stay in your Bibles where you're at right now, but I want, if you would, I want to turn to Acts 16, verse 1 to 3, but keep your Bibles if you want right there, because I want to read something to you about Timothy. Acts 16, verse 1 to 3, it says this: Then came he, talking about Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. That's the same Timothy that Paul wrote to in the 1 and 2 Timothy. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which means he was an unbeliever, which was well reported of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that the father was a Greek. Timothy was a great believer in the gospel. He was a young man. But Paul saw something great in Timothy that God could use for the gospel's sake. It says in 2 Timothy 1:5 that Timothy had unflinched faith in the gospel. That means he had transparency and simplicity of soul, pure and a good heart, readiness to believe in goodness. Unflinched faith. Great. So young, but yet his mother had done something with him as far as imparting faith into this young man's life. People, especially ones with children and grandchildren, you need to impart the principles of God upon their children and grandchildren's lives. Because if you don't, they will turn away from the gospel. It is your responsibility as parents. It is your responsibility, more so as parents, but your responsibility as grandparents, to give out the principles of our God towards our grandchildren and children, that they can see that we have faith in our God, and that He can do all things, and that He is the great God Jehovah. That we need to impart unto them the things of the Word of God. And Timothy's mother had given him a certain portion of faith to believe God. And it says that his faith was unflinched. My God. That's why Paul could work with Timothy and bring him along. And Paul would bring Timothy, and Timothy would help him in the gospel. You see that many times in the gospels. We, as Christians, need to allow the Spirit of the Lord to be upon our lives, to be upon our children's lives and our grandchildren, and impart the truths that God has given unto us. Let me tell you, this is not a good statement, but it's a true statement. We've raised up a generation that does not know God. That's not good. And I say we, I'm talking about all human race. especially in America that I know of. I don't know any other place. This is where I live. But we've raised up a generation that does not know God. And we need to get back these children. We need to get back to the power of prayer. We need to get back to the power of the Word of God. Look, you know, years ago, people knew the gospel. Now you can say a story, and a lot of them don't even know it's in the Bible. It astounds me. And these are people in the 20s and 30s. You say something about the gospel, and they don't know it. They don't know it's in there. They don't know if it's God. It's so sad. And if you lose your faith in God, your faith will go into something else. And the devil will come and fill it. The devil will come and fill it. We need to get back to the revival of the old days. Now, I don't want to go back to sitting on hay or having sawdust on the floor. None of that stuff. I don't want to go back to where there's no indoor bathrooms or heat and air conditioning. None of that stuff. But the one thing I do desire is to go back to the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of God moved and reigned upon the people, where the people gathered into the churches saying, we need the power of God. We need the presence of God. We need the anointing of God. They knew Jesus. They knew something about Him. They knew something about the Word of God. They reverenced the Word of God. Getting back to the fear of our God, not so much, but fearing Him and who He is. Getting back to that. I said, well, how can we do that? By making sure we have that in us. And number two, by praying and interceding and asking God to pull back the darkness away from our country. Pull back the darkness away from Gaydon and Kaplan and our parish, people. It's darkness that comes from the enemy that steals the power of God or steals the revelation of the Word of God. It says that the enemy goes around trying to steal from God's people. Steal the presence of God. Stealing the Word of God. Stealing the faith of God in God's people. That we get to our God and we say, God, we're going to believe You. I love the word that came forth. Thank You for obeying the Spirit of the Lord. I knew there was a word to come forth. And people, we need to reverence it. Be patient. It's coming. Just be patient and keep on doing the will of the Father. Be faithful with the things that God has given you. Be faithful to those things. Being faithful to your God. Being faithful to your pastor. Being faithful to your church. Being faithful to your family. Being faithful. Because He said that's what He's going to judge us by, that faithfulness. That is so lacking around the world. But people, as children of the living God, that we are faithful to our God. That we don't become unhinged, but we stay faithful to Him because of who Jesus is and what He's done for us at Calvary's cross. The power of our God, the presence of our God, the anointing of our God. We can call upon Him and He shall answer us. And He shall show us great and mighty things which we don't even know. How many of you and I have been on Skid Row at one time in our lives, huh, people? Don't forget that. Now, don't go back to that, but don't forget it. Don't forget it. And then we see the power of God changing our hearts and changing our lives of where we could have been and where we are today. The power of our God. That we can walk around full of the Spirit of God. I remember the day that I got filled. How many people here are filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, as far as you speak in tongues. Raise your hand, please, so I can thank you. Okay. You're not filled. That doesn't mean one's better than the other. I just need to know. You need to seek God for that Holy Spirit as for speaking in tongues. Lord, now that's the power of our God. See, there's a measure of faith, there's a measure of the Holy Spirit that comes in when we get saved. But in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, it talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the people, and it says that they spoke in other tongues. They spoke in other tongues. I say, well, what are they saying? Well, we don't know. It's a prayer language that God has given to us to pray. And it goes up to Him. But I remember just being on my bed and saying, Lord, I want it. And I believe it. God saved, was baptized in water that day. And I remember going home and I said, I feel something here that wants to come out. No one prayed over me. And I remember that night just laying in bed and saying, Father, if it's real, I'm right. And all of a sudden, just started speaking in tongues. I wasn't that much. It was just little by little. Jesus! You're not feeling the... Come on. Ask God. Ask the Father. It's a promise. You're going to see some change on the inside. It's a power that's rolling on the inside. Oh! From that time in Acts chapter 2, when those people got filled with the Holy Spirit, it says the church started to grow astronomically. They thought they were drunk. They were drunk in the Holy Spirit, all right. Praise God. Just the power of Almighty God. And in Acts chapter 10, it talks about when the Gentiles got filled with the Holy Spirit. That it just wasn't for the Jews. We say, for years, people, God had to work on the Jewish people. Even the Jewish saved people. He had to work for years. They thought salvation, the Holy Spirit, was just for them. And the Spirit of God had to come in and correct them and say, it's for you, but it's also for the Gentile too. And let me tell you, that was a hard thing for them to swallow. Because they, you know, and hey, I'm sure we don't blame them. We might have done the same thing. You know, hey, look. But it's for all people, the power of Almighty God. Pray, say, Lord, give it to me. Come up to me and say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. We'll pray with you. Ask God to move upon that thing. And you, the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to pray in tongues every day. Every day. Every day. At that church service, I was praying in tongues, people. Not everybody is saved. Okay? Not everybody's saved. You know they're coming together. But everybody's coming to give thanks. And so you pray in tongues and you say, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to do. And ask Him, and you call upon Him and says, if He will give you those things, just let it flow out. Just let it flow out. The more you speak in tongues, the more will come. The more will come. It does something on it. It fills you up. And you'll pray exactly what the Father wants you to pray. Any questions about that? Don't get antsy about it. That's okay. Just God loves us, man. And I don't want to see anybody in this place going without what God wants for us. But look at these scriptures. It says this in the latter part. It says, and without, verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Really, what he's talking about Jesus, and he's starting to list these things about your Lord, about your God, and about your Savior. And he's saying this, it's without controversy. It's without a doubt. No doubt. It's a fact about our God, about Jesus, the things that he starts to list. And he says this, he says, look, Timothy, God was manifest in the flesh. Do you know there's a lot of people that think that Jesus never came? That's hard for us to believe. Even though there is evidence more than what the Bible gives us, I mean, that's the ultimate evidence, but there's evidence throughout the scriptures here, but there's evidence in other books about our Savior being born and the miracles that happened. Josephus that wrote these things of history down. You know, that's, you know, like today, you know, we have many historians that write books about the history that is being made throughout, because every day there's something going on that makes history, you know, just about. And so there's constant history that's being written down. There are books about our Lord and Savior that have been written down beyond what the Bible says. That was given to us by God. But there are many people that don't even believe that he came. Oh, there's no way possible that he came. There's no way possible that he was born of a virgin. There's no way possible, you know, that he didn't come the way he said he came. But Paul is telling Timothy, tell the church, that Jesus came in the flesh. The incarnation, which is talking about coming in the flesh, that Jesus actually came upon the earth and walked the roads in Jerusalem, walked the roads, did those things. He was a carpenter, but he also died upon the cross. That Jesus actually came. And when he's telling the church, Timothy, tell the church not to forget. Not to forget that Jesus has come. That Jesus has come and he's done what he was supposed to do. He's the great God Jehovah. That we should never forget that he came and died upon the cross. And also it says that he was justified in the Spirit. Justified or vindicated by the Holy Spirit, if you want to say it that way. Or proved by the Holy Spirit. Or pronounced by the Holy Spirit. You can see it in the scriptures. You can see it in the comments. That he was justified. Jesus was justified or vindicated by the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit approved of him. That means when Jesus was conceived and was born, that the stamp of approval was given by the Godhead upon him. That the Father gave the stamp of approval and the Holy Spirit justified him. That here Jesus walked around doing miracles, signs, and wonders. My God, that's the kind of God you serve. That he fed the 5,000. He healed the sick. He helped people that were in need. Gave direction to the ones that needed direction. My God. He even, it says that one day he was preaching to the people. And it says the crowd got so big, he was on the seashore. That here was, I think it was James and Peter that had gone out and tried to catch fish all night and couldn't catch anything. And they had brought their boat on the seashore. And it says that they got so close to him that he couldn't preach like he really wanted to or teach like he couldn't want to. They were coming upon him because they needed life. And so he said, look, Jesus had just picked them as disciples. They had worked all night, didn't catch a thing. But their boat was next to the shore. So Jesus said, Peter, James, can I use your boat? Oh, yes, sir. And it says Jesus walked on that boat. And at the end of the boat, he got up and he started teaching the people from the boat. Teaching the people from the boat. Oh, my God. Teaching the people from the boat. And look, Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was a preacher. Telling the people about what God could do. Bringing healing to the people. And after he taught, he said, okay, now, Peter and James, go out in your boat and cast your nets. And they looked at him. They said, we tried to catch fish all night. Did you catch that? He said, I understand. But he said, he looked at them, and I'm just kind of going to give you what I think. You let me use what you have. Now I'm going to give you what you want. Ooh, you got to catch it. You let me use what you had, your vote. And you didn't have to. Now I'm going to give you what you want. That's a good statement. People, everything we have belongs to the Father. Everything we have. We don't give to God to get. We give to God because of obedience. And they went out there, and all of a sudden, they threw out their nets. And they had so much fish, they had to call for the other boat to come and help them put all the fish in their boat and the other boat because they had so much fish. People, when we're obedient to the Spirit of the Lord, when we're obedient to the things of the gospel, my God, He makes a way where there seems to be no way. How many times maybe you couldn't pay a bill and you said, oh my God, there's no way possible. And God comes into that place and He makes it possible to be paid somehow, some way. Huh? That's the kind of God you serve. You don't serve no little peon God that can't do a thing, that's made of hands of man. But we serve a God that is all-powerful, all-consuming, that can give us everything that we need and more. We don't serve Him to get things. We serve Him out of obedience because we love our Father. And our Father takes care of His children. And we go to Him and He takes care of us. People, what you have is God's. Okay? What you have is God's. Now, the money you have and the money I have belongs to Him. Yes? The homes you have and the home I have, who does it belong to? Let's all point up. Put all fingers, none to you. The cars you have, who do they belong to? The clothes you have, who do they belong to? Ladies, all your makeup. Who does it belong to? Everything. That's just guys, your wallets. Who does it belong to? Him. Everything belongs to Him. He'll never ask us to do anything that will bring harm to us. But He'll ask us to do things so He can bless us back and use us in His kingdom. Scene of angels, my God. Scene of angels. We know this, the angels witnessed every capacity of His death, His burial, His resurrection, His passion, His ascension. The angels saw it all. I mean, it says it here, scene of angels, my God, scene of angels. Can you imagine from the time Jesus left the right hand of the Father and came down to this earth, the angels saw it all. Remember this, 2/3 of the angels didn't rebel against God, only 1/3. And honestly, this is my own personal belief, that when 1/3 of the angels rebelled against God and they left, God just made another 1/3 for him. That's just my personal belief. So He's not lacking in any area for us today. So when God petitions for angels to come forth and bring us an answer to prayer or do whatever, that He's not lacking in any area. Our God is not a God of recession. He doesn't lack. He's over and abundant, people. Scene of angels. The angels saw it all. Can you imagine? They witnessed Jesus leaving the Father. They witnessed Jesus leaving heaven. They witnessed Jesus coming and being put within the womb of a virgin, Mary. They witnessed and protected that Jesus. They witnessed Jesus being born. They witnessed Jesus becoming a carpenter. They witnessed Jesus teaching in the synagogue. They witnessed Jesus healing the sick. They witnessed Jesus telling people that they can give their lives to the Lord. They witnessed Jesus doing miracles, signs, and wonders. They witnessed Jesus laying himself upon that cross and a man crucifying him. But they also witnessed Jesus being resurrected from the dead. And they also witnessed Jesus, his ascension. That means after he was resurrected from the dead, for 40 days, it talks about how Jesus roamed the earth, visiting with his disciples, and then he ascended back into the heavens after those 40 days. And now he sits upon the throne. Here we see Jesus, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, my God, preached unto the nations. You might say, well, he only preached to that area at that time. That's right. But this was foretelling that Jesus would be preached to the ends of the earth. And we see it today. To the ends of the earth. To every nation that wants to hear about Jesus can hear. Also, it says this, that he was believed on in the world. Many have accepted him. We have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Maybe there's many that hasn't. But I know this, we have. And we will stand strong for the things of the gospel, Christianity. We will stand strong of getting people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. We will stand strong with getting people healed by the power of God. The presence of God around the world. Also this, it says this, and he was received up into glory. Received up into glory. I want you to put Romans 8:34, please. Romans 8:34. Also this, he tells Timothy, look, Jesus was received up into glory. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. For to me, it's an amazing thing to think. Paul told Timothy all these things. We need to remember these things. That he came for us. He was born. He was seen of angels. Justified by the Holy Spirit. Preached to all the nations, all the Gentiles. And was risen back up again. We should never forget what our God has done for us and what he will do in the future for us. The power and the presence of our God. And now, he's seated at the right hand of God. And the next time he gets up, he's coming for us and for his people. But right now, he's making intercession for you and I. Intercession. Can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords making intercession for you and me today? That's the power. That's the love of the Father for his children. And he's calling out our name. He loves us so much. And he calls out the names of God's children to him. He knows the struggles that we have. He knows the triumphs that we have. He knows our failures. He knows what we go through. He knows what affects us. We're all different. And he calls out our names before. Because why? His mercy endures forever, and it's renewed what? Every morning towards us, as he brought out that scripture. His mercy, and Jesus turns to the Father, the mercy for us. Mercy. And the Father has mercy upon us, because what does he see? He sees the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, upon our lives, upon our souls, upon our spirits. Praise be unto our God. That's what he sees. And when he looks at us, he sees that. And the mercy of the Father just comes out towards us. That's why he can forgive us in an instant. When we go to him and say, Father, forgive me. And he says, okay. Because of his mercy and his grace upon us. That's the kind of God we serve that can give us mercy, that can give us grace, no matter what we've done to him. Or to someone else. That his mercy exudes from him, comes out of him towards us. Every day it's renewed towards us. That doesn't mean he runs out. It's just it's renewed every day. It's on and on every day. Yes, yes, yes to us. The greatness of our God. I want you to one last scripture. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Oh, praise be unto our God this day. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. He is just and right is he. Let me read that scripture again. It says, he is the rock. You need a rock to stand. His work is perfect in us. For all his ways are judgment. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Praise God. Just. That's the God you serve. You know what you do today and tomorrow? Get that scripture and you say, Father, I just want to remind you of who you are. Let me tell you, fall in love with your God and say, Father, you are the rock. You are just. You are right. You are truth. Praise God.